Hey, I'm just letting you know that in February 2023, I am speaking at my friend Andy Storch's event in Sonoma, California. It's called the Talent Development Think Tank. I'll be running a session on marketing your workshops. And on day three, I'll be hosting the 2-hour workshop blueprint session. I'd love to see you there. Head on over to leannehughes.com/thinktank. Enjoy the episode. Coming up next on Leanne Hughes's Work and Live Large.
Yes, your first party should be a low stakes affair. You want to invite your neighbors, your close friends, you know, people you've worked with for a long time. You don't want to reach from the top shelf and invite someone who you really want to impress. Why? This happened with somebody that I know. He lives in Kansas. He's hosting a party. He's got 15 people come in and he thinks about a girl he went on a date with and he says, oh, I should invite her to my party. I said, absolutely not. No, no, no. You're going to stress out. You're not going to have the confidence to try new things. You'll be self-conscious. You will stress out and it's not good.
Life's too short. You're here to work and live large. Here's your host with nothing to lose, Leanne Hughes.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes, and I'm here to help you imagine what's possible is possible for you. Hey, I'm so excited to release this episode, which really spurred off the back of a book that I just discovered on Twitter one day. I was scrolling it. The front page really stood out. And what was interesting is that it inspired a tremendous amount of action from me and also knock-on effects from that. So the book is called The 2-Hour Cocktail Party, How to Build Big Relationships with Small Gatherings. And the author is Nick Gray, who is our most esteemed guest today. What was interesting about the book is that I was just very curious. The front page, you absolutely do judge a book by its front cover. And I loved the look of this book. So like I said, bought it immediately. I started reading it from Kindle. And what was amazing is that after the first chapter, I had already set a date for my cocktail party. I was so convinced. I'd gone from like not even thinking about the idea to then, yes, setting a date. And I hosted it last month and I'm really keen to run more. Now, it's really contagious, this concept of hosting events. In fact, one of my friends, Ronsley, who I shared the book with, he has run his event. I went to his cocktail party a couple of weeks ago on a Tuesday night. I've been really busy on Tuesday nights recently. And now Ronsley's hosting events like all around Australia. So that's so, so cool. Now, the great thing about this chat is that 1.5 days after my cocktail party, when I got to wake up and recover with time zones, Nick and I debriefed my event. And it's really cool because you'll hear how Nick designs his experiences. But also I think more exciting is the way Nick lives his life. And he doesn't hold back in his content. I love his newsletter. I love his videos. I love just following him on social media. So who is Nick Gray? Well, he moved to New York City with very few friends and less than stellar social skills. But he craved new relationships and exciting opportunities. So Nick started hosting non-traditional parties. And this is a move that opened doors that he never could have imagined. Today, after hosting hundreds of two-hour parties, Nick counts business owners, artists, and inspiring teachers among a circle of friends that helped him launch a multi-million dollar company called Museum Hack. Featured in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, Nick has been called a host of culturally significant parties by New York Magazine. You can see his best rated photos online at nickgray.net or at Nick Gray News on Instagram and Twitter. Also, the coolest thing about his book is that in it, you email him when your party is going to be held. And then he kind of holds your hand. I don't know if it's him and his team. They check in with you. They make sure everything's going okay, that you're making progress. They review your event page. Like, it's amazing. And you do that by contacting him, hello@nickgray.net. You can also view his party tips on how to host a party over at www.party.pro. Nick is super fun to follow. You'll hear that in this conversation. And yeah, I just loved his interactive approach to this book. I think, wow, what a way forward for any type of book is being able to interact with the author and make progress as you continue reading. It absolutely spurs on the word of mouth, and I've been talking about this book to anyone that will listen. If you'd like show notes, head on over to podcast.leannehughes.com, and I hope this episode inspires you to start hosting your own 2-hour cocktail party. On to the show. I'm super delighted to welcome on to the podcast, the party guy, Nick Gray. It's great to have you here.
Hey, thank you.
Nick, every time I see something on LinkedIn, on Instagram, like all over the place, you are just a person that lives his best life. It's so cool to watch. I know you've done a lot of cool things in your past. Can you just share, maybe let's talk about Museum Hack. how you started that, and what led you to the work that you do today.
I started a company called Museum Hack that did renegade museum tours. They're non-traditional guided tours at some of America's best museums. I started at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And it all started when a woman took me on a romantic date to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Now, I've never taken an art history class. I don't know about art. I've never worked for a museum. And she took me there and just showed me things and spoke to me at my level, which is like a third grade reading level. Like, these are sculpture. These are painting. This is Egyptian artifacts. And I loved it. I thought it was so cool. And I started to go back to the museum. Anyhow, I started a business doing tours there. And I would hire people like stand-up comedians and Broadway actors to lead those tours. And, you know, we didn't work for the museum, so we'd tell you the juicy gossip. We'd tell you the backstories, the sexy secrets of the space. And we really made our money, Leanne, in selling these as team-building experiences to big businesses. Like Google, GE, and Nike, we would sell them, you know, these adventures at the museum for all their employees. And that's how we made a bunch of money. I did that business for about 7 or 8 years. I sold it in 2019. And that was my last big business.
It's just everything that you do, Nick, it just seems like you just want to maximize what's going on in the world. I'm just curious, is that a big driver for you? I mean, on your 40th birthday, you hired a whole water park. This book is actually really about, I love this quote here, in the time it takes to watch a movie, you can improve your relationships with a room full of people. That's super cool. It's like maximizing the time that we have, I don't know, on this planet. Like, what do you think about that? Is that your motivation?
I think it's just I have a short attention span, Leanne. I'm just like, I just want to have the best. I do something. Do you ever do this? I go to movies and I leave early all the time. If I'm bored, I'll just leave.
I can't watch movies.
And that, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to watch movies, right? But I'll go to movies. If I don't like it, I leave. I don't have a problem doing that. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I'm just trying to create some great experiences and have fun with my friends.
Yeah, cool. One thing I want to point out, I don't know if it was on your About page and I had to click the video. You were an extra on American Pie too. And there's an interview you did with Eugene Levy, which I think is absolutely hilarious. Can you talk listeners through that?
Oh my God, when I was in high school, so we are talking, I was a wee young lad, maybe 16, 17 years old. I downloaded a bootleg copy of this movie that wasn't released yet. And I thought it was going to be a great movie. It resonated with me at the time. It was called American Pie. I'm a little embarrassed to think, you know, it really resonated with me. I thought it was an amazing movie at the time. And I made this movie and I was so lucky. I made this website for the movie, celebrating it and hyping it up. And I got to be friends with some of the cast and crew and the writer and director. And they invited me out for the sequel to do an interview with the team and the cast. And I got to talk to Eugene Levy, which was a real treat.
What year are we talking? This is like HTML is just like, we're talking... Yeah. Really early
this
on.
This is 99, probably 1999. Yeah. HTML had been out for years and years, but it was, you know, not a lot of people were making websites in 1999.
Yeah. I was talking to Dr. Christian Bush, who I believe you know, about his book, The Serendipity Mindset. And I think everything that you do, Nick, is you do all these cool things and as a result, you attract incredible opportunities like this example of American Pie. Now, you're here because I was on scrolling on Twitter, posting up my daily Wordle, and somehow I found your book and I downloaded it immediately. The front cover just is super cool, the illustrations, it just comes alive. And I was just going to read it out of curiosity, but you set a challenge in that first chapter and it's to host your cocktail party. Now, I love a good challenge, so I did it. But first of all, let's talk about a bit about the premise of the book, who it's for, why you wrote it, and then we'll dive into dissecting the cocktail party that I ran on Wednesday night this week. All right, so yeah. Nick, tell us a bit about your book.
Okay, my book is called The 2-Hour Cocktail Party, and it's for people who think they don't even need the book, for people who don't host right now, for people who have never hosted or think that maybe they're not a host. And my goal is to teach them that there's an easy way, a secret formula that I've found on how you can host a successful gathering. If you're curious about what the formula is, just think about my name, Nick, N-I-C-K. N stands for name tags. I stands for icebreakers. C stands for cocktails only, no dinner. And K stands for kick them out at the end. It's only 2 hours, which I have questions for Leanne, how long yours went and how it, I guess we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we can talk about that. We'll move around to different topics. Let's center on the K then. So yeah, I've run my party on Wednesday. Now I'm usually in bed by 9 o'clock. I was actually surprised. I thought, people won't want to leave. We're having such a good time. But you're right. It's actually on a Wednesday night. People are happy that you close it. We had a few people stick around till about 9:20, but everyone was out by 9:30. Yes.
And they like that and they appreciate it and they're ready to come back and they think of you as a better host when you give a gracious ending, when you end it with confidence. It's such a pro move.
Yeah. I mean, let's walk through. Yeah, you're right. And people were very grateful. I had someone that drove like an hour and a half just to come along. He'd been up since 2:30 that morning. I had just the amount of effort people made to come along was out of control.
Wow.
Even the name tags, right? So everyone's like, where did you buy your name tags from? So I had to create some show notes for guests and just share like links for various items. But I've linked to your book, Nick, because you've got the whole resource on it. Why are name tags so important?
I think name tags, increasingly I'm thinking about introverts and people with social anxiety, shy people, and how we can create spaces to make them feel more welcome. When everybody wears name tags at a party, you show that there's no cliques. You show that it's a safe space to go up and introduce yourself and make a new friend. It's like wearing a jersey for sports. When you wear a name tag, everybody's on the same team. I went to this fancy business event once and we paid a crazy amount of money to be there. There were 30 different people. And the host said, we're not going to have name tags. We don't want this to feel like a normal business event. We want people to connect as friends. I tell you, me and everybody there were struggling those first three, all days of it. You can't remember 30 people's names. And at a cocktail party, the point of my gatherings is to mix up your different friend groups. I'd love to know from Leanne who you invited to your party, but that's the purpose. That's the goal of these gatherings, a 2-hour cocktail party. And when you host one, you'll be known, you'll be successful, you'll be famous among your friends for gathering people, for introducing your different groups of people. Think about all the different connections you have. If you can bring them all together, they'll be friends with each other.
Yes. And like I did a post on LinkedIn yesterday, which has blown up like with our group photo, which I sent you and I'll put into the show notes for this episode. Because everyone's like, basically the opening was how often do we say, we should grab a coffee? And that never actually happens. And then you have this, and if you were to grab a coffee with everyone, you'd literally just be having 40 hours of coffees a week. So if you just bring them to your place, it's like everyone, the idea is gold. Okay. So, so many points to pick up on. Introverts. We've actually, in the first round of intros, we actually had a few people saying, I'm an introvert in their intro. And there's like this little introverts corner, but they loved it. They said, look, this is so much better than coming to say your birthday party because we know that not many people know each other here. So we have an excuse to talk to people. Which is what the name tags.
And from your party, did you do the guest bios?
Yes.
Nice. The guest bios are my secret weapon. How many did you do them for?
Well, I had like 20 RSVP. I wrote four.
You wrote four bios?
Yeah. Should I have written
Leanne,
more?
Leanne, why did you write four? No. Leanne, this podcast is canceled. Your next party, I want you to write them for 14. Crank up those bios and they can be short. Okay, what's a guest bio? A guest bio is a little blurb about the people that are attending your party. For example, if I was writing one from Leanne, I'd say, Leanne lives in Australia. She's visiting Austin for the first time. She hosts a podcast. Ask her about her podcast, right? It's just a little conversational touch point. You can mention what they do for work. You can find a little bit of info from their LinkedIn. I will write bios even sometimes where I just say like, Jenny is a new friend. I just met her through my friend, Bob. I think she has blonde hair. Something like that. You're just including these little things and it really drives the engagement. It gets more people to show up. it gives the introverts like, ooh, I want to talk to that person. And everybody gets excited to meet some new people.
Yeah, I did check in on a few people because, yeah, okay, I will absolutely ramp it up. I've made my mistake. I'm so happy we're having this call so I don't make the same mistake. But one of the guys
I hope it's okay I roast you on some of these things
totally
too, because I know you're a great facilitator.
Totally fine. My friend Thomas, who is acclaimed introvert, I wrote that he enjoys geocaching and he does these quarterly like cleanups around Brisbane and picks up rubbish. And he says he actually said a lot of people came up to him and asked him about those things. So
nice.
You're right. You're right. Nick, you spoke before about who did I invite to this? And I think it's important to talk about the difference between the first cocktail party and future cocktail parties. Because you talk about in your book, for your first one, you want it to be a little bit of a safe event for you as the host. Can you elaborate on that for our listeners?
Yes. Your first party should be a low stakes affair. You want to invite your neighbors, your close friends, you know, people you've worked with for a long time. You don't want to reach from the top shelf and invite someone who you really want to impress. Why? This happened with somebody that I know. He lives in Kansas. He's hosting a party. He's got 15 people come in and he thinks about a girl he went on a date with and he says, oh, I should invite her to my party. I said, absolutely not. No, no, no. You're going to stress out. You're not going to have the confidence to try new things. You'll be self-conscious. You will stress out and it's not good. Your first party, you simply want to do the mechanics. And maybe, Leanne, you have better words for this in the facilitation world of why is that important? I'd just be curious from you in the science sort of academia world of practice. What am I doing here with encouraging people to do that?
Oh, and the phrase that really jumps into my mind is psychological safety. And there's also a model. Have you heard of the SCARF model from David Rock?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to, it's a quick acronym. So it's status, certainty, autonomy, relatedness, and fairness. Actually, your book, Nick, completely hits all of those things directly on in terms of creating. So it talks about a reward state and a painful state. So status, what you were talking about before is if you're inviting someone that is top shelf to your first party, that creates a feeling of unease within yourself and you feel like, oh, yes, I'm going to really have to ramp this up. But the whole premise of your book, Nick, is to make it as effortless and easy for you to run yourself. So that's why for the first one, just, yeah, create that sense of comfort. So for the first one, I did the same thing. I invited some old colleagues, some good friends, some solopreneurs, and they've never associated together. I've always kept them separate. So there was such
Was that intimidating for you to mix them up? Were you wondering how they would connect?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how did it go? Was it okay?
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. So because we had such a big group though, what you recommend is three rounds of icebreakers. The first one took a decent amount of time. So we only did two rounds, but that was fine.
Okay.
But I'm breaking another rule.
Okay. Okay. I have more questions for you about you had how many people? 20 people?
Yes.
Okay. And how long did it take to do the icebreaker?
The first round, we just did name and what do you do for work or what your hobby is. And that was about 10 minutes. And I thought, oh gosh, second one will be longer. And it was about 15 minutes, the second one.
Okay. And for your second one, what'd you ask them?
The media question.
What was the icebreaker?
Yeah.
Okay, so good. Great. Good. Yeah.
I tell you what was so interesting about the first and the second icebreaker. The first round was people were sort of talking and it just went around. The second one, someone would mention something and then there was banter. Like everyone was responding to it and sharing stories. So it was like one awesome group conversation.
Really cool. You got to see it evolve as the rapport was built up and the new connections. You saw, somebody gave me a good suggestion. So I helped host a party last night and somebody said, I'm trying to grow my audience online on TikTok, and somebody said, you know what you should do? You should set up a little GoPro to record a party with people's permission, record an entire party, and then you voice over and comment. And I'm just thinking how cool it'd be from your party. Notice the body language during the first icebreaker, notice the audio levels, and now look at the second one. All these connections happening.
That is a brilliant idea because I could see it. So we've got But I also want to talk about, I'm sorry, I'm just jumping around to different points, but I think that
I can't wait. Good.
I feel like you're the type of person I can do that. We don't need to have The brilliant thing is whenever I thought about hosting an event, I thought I'd have to go to a bar or hire a venue. And something that you say, and I actually live about 15 minutes away from the city, so it is a bit of a hike to get to where I am, but people made the effort And in my mind, I didn't think that would actually happen, hosting at your own house. What is the value of hosting it at your own place?
The value to hosting at home is multiple things. Number one, it hypercharges your connections. It when you bring someone into your home, it's like you're going on a little date with them. You're inviting them into this sacred, special space. Number two, hosting at home is more generous. When you host at a restaurant or at a bar, everybody, you know, I'm assuming that you're not going to have an open tab. Maybe if your financial situation allows that, but for most of me and my friends, that's not a reality. And when you host at home, though, for less than $100 Australian, you can gather everybody and you can serve them drinks and basic snacks and cocktails. At a bar, you can't do that. It's very transactional. Each drink you have to pay for, you have to wait. When you bring someone into your own home, you can control the space. It's just you and your friends. And for many people, you're in a small, intimate environment. It just feels more special. It also feels more vulnerable. You know, one of the biggest hangups from people, oh, my apartment isn't big enough. I live too far away. It's not clean enough. It's not nice enough. You know, I project this image online, and in reality, I don't want people to come over to my house and see how I really live. And the reality is that for 95% of the people that I work with and that I get to help host their parties, their home is the best place to do it. All of those things they've said are limiting beliefs. The reality is nobody's going to show up to your home and judge you and start to think worse of you because you're going to be generous. You're going to be hosting a great event. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's really powerful. And like, we've got this 1970s house. And so downstairs, there was actually a bar area that we've never used before. We've just used it to like film videos and do random things, but it was perfect. So now I'm like, okay, I'm so ready for number two. So Nick, what should number this, my second cocktail party, what should the focus be for that?
For your second party, I think, okay, so your first party did the two rounds of icebreakers. You had what, 20 people?
Yeah.
You host at your home. You did it on a Wednesday from what time? You do 7 to 9 p.m.?
Correct.
I think your second party, you could, you can invite half of the same people that you invited to this one, half some new people. You can go maybe two more people, shoot for 22. You can practice running the icebreakers a little bit tighter. And you can write more guest bios. That's something I'm going to have you do. You're going to do more guest bios. I'll tell you something that I've been doing. This is just a test, but you can try it. I've been sending the guest bios, and I also link to a Google Doc that say, here are the guest bios. Feel free to add or edit your bio on this Google Doc as well. And so somebody can jump in, they can add theirs, they can add their social links. And the next day after your party, you can experiment with an email to everybody and link to that Google Doc and say, hey, if you want to add your social media links, hop on this Google Doc, add it onto your bio. It's a good way to link up and connect with people afterwards. That's for your second party. After your third, I have an incredible facilitation technique that I will teach you that is called the 24-hour reply all thread. You can probably imagine what it is and how it works. But I promise you, there's a few facilitation things you have to do because it can backfire.
Okay, cool. So that's a real incentive for me to run my third. Hey, Nick, in your book, you share some stories of people that are running these. And what has been the value for the host? Like, what has changed in their life as a result of doing these quite frequently and doing more of them?
So I'll tell you for myself, I launched my last business, Museum Hack, thanks to hosting all these parties. I had a network of acquaintances. And here's what we think about. You know, you typed on LinkedIn, how many people do you say, we should just get a coffee, we should hang out? And you never do it. You never do it. We have all these acquaintances, these weak ties, these loose connections that we never build a relationship with. When you host a cocktail party, you will develop an incredible network of acquaintances. Now, you can build big relationships. You can build friendships out of that. And you're much more likely to build that after they've attended a party that you've hosted. Now you can invite them to dinner, to go on a bike ride, to hang out. They will invite you to things. So one, I launched my business thanks to that. I just heard from somebody last week. He said, dude, oh my God, I read your book when I was like beta testing it. He said, I hosted two parties and someone I met on one of those parties invited me on a ski trip. And I never would have gotten the invitation to go on that. I ended up meeting some people. It was one of the best trips I ever went on. And it's all because I hosted a party. And so I think you were talking about just that serendipity and just creating new opportunities. And I think we find out about the best opportunities through these random weak ties and loose connections.
Yeah. But the best thing about it is I feel like when I go to networking events, it is just like a splatter effect. Like I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know. But then when it's my own event, it just seems like because it's more orchestrated, there is more chance for serendipity. It's actually more strategic.
Yes.
And I find it more fun. Like I don't have to get an Uber anywhere. I just crawl upstairs when it's all done. And look, I've got to share some more mistakes or differences that I make. Cause I'm the first Australian party that's been hosted.
Yes. My very first Australian party in Brisbane. I went to Brisbane back in 2016. So I haven't been in a long time. I hope that you are going to continue to host so I can come back and co-host with you one day. Tell me more about your party.
Well, Australians, you said don't buy beer. And it's like Australians and beer are pretty synonymous.
Yes.
So I did. Yes. And we've got, and I don't know if it's a big craze in America, but 0% beer is actually taking off.
Huh. Wow, cool.
Yeah. So I actually didn't buy 0% beer for this party, but I will for the next one. So there were quite a few drivers, but I had mid-strength. We had regular beer. I made some Aperol spritz. I know you say you don't do that, but it's pre-mixed and it's easier than me having to pour vodka. I did actually pay for a grazing platter and that was a waste of money. I should not have done that.
Oh my gosh. Talk about that, because you read my book. You said, well, he said not to do this, but I'm going to do it. That's okay. That's all right.
Well, I guess the reason there's a small business. I just wanted to support them. They make some really attractive grazing platters and I've always wanted an excuse to just support them. So I did that, but I'm like, good. I won't do that again. I think I will absolutely take what you write in your book in terms of what to supply.
So which snacks or drinks were the most popular?
I had cans of sparkling water with lime and they were super popular. The Aperol spritz was great. White wine was, no one drank the red wine.
Yes.
So, and the beer, of course.
Fascinating, because it's winter time there now, right?
Yeah. But winter's about, I mean, I can't even convert to your, it was pretty cold. But no,
I would have thought that the red wine would have been more popular. Is that a cultural thing?
No, red wine's usually popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Was there anything else that surprised you from the party? Was there anything that as you look back or reflected on it?
Well, I mean, you say not to, it's so funny. I'm a bit of a rebel. You're like, don't worry about a Spotify playlist, but I made a Spotify playlist. It was basically my Peloton playlist, just repurposed. But you can't even hear the music. Like, there was no, people arrived early. So people were coming through the door. There were about five people there at 6:50 PM.
They showed up 10 minutes early. I would be so stressed out if people, how was that? How'd that make you feel?
I was cool with it. So,
okay.
And I have an Apple Watch. So I put all the timings of icebreakers. So it said 7:10 PM, like activate it, 7:35 activate. So I had that, was helpful. Great. But 7:10 was perfect timing. Cause we had a call beforehand and you're like, Leanne, run the first icebreaker. Cause I don't think I would have if you hadn't prompted me to do that. Cause everyone was sort of talking anyway. So you think, why would I interrupt it?
Yes.
It worked.
Did you notice? Why the first? I thought you said you only did two icebreakers. Did you actually do three? So you did the first one real fast with the first five?
Yeah, but no, because at 7:10, I had about 15 people there.
Got it. Okay, good. Yeah. All right, fine.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did you notice one thing that I'm always looking for at my events is not the velocity, but I'm looking to see that people are moving around the room. I like seeing movement. And if I look around the room and I look back 5 minutes later or 10 minutes and everybody's in the same spots, I get a little worried. My spidey sense starts to tingle a little bit. And I like to do these icebreakers to break up the conversations, because here's what I've learned. The very best ones will reform. They will find each other after the icebreaker and continue their conversation. The other ones will use that as a break to go meet somebody new.
Mm. Yeah. And that I think is the value of having that third one thrown in. Cause you're right. There was a bit of movement, but there wasn't like people jumping over the other side of the room, but that would happen at after an icebreaker. So you're right. Mm. And there was a bit of a shuffle. And because I had like about four people from my old company, there was a bit of a, you know, they had a group, but then then it was evolving and moving around. Yeah.
That's fun. Did you do any of the, it's really an advanced move, but I bet you probably did it, where you'd be like, oh my gosh, Darlene, you have to come and meet John and pull her and be like, you have to come meet her. You guys both do this and have them talk. Or be like, Darren, hold on a second. You have to come meet Sherry and like move them. Did you do that some?
I didn't find the need to, but what I did sometimes when I was like, cause it was actually really quite a small space. I had a whole outdoor area, but we didn't use it. We didn't need to, but when I was looking around, I could see maybe a conversation wasn't like moving. Uh-huh. So I'd sort of jump in, intervene, and that would either give someone a chance to move or bring someone else in. So it was more organic versus me being quite orchestrated, but I probably would have done that. Good. Yeah. If it needed it.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds fun. I think as you start to host more, you will start to curate your guest list more. Last night, I was a part of a group that was for people that are active on Twitter or trying to grow our following on Twitter. You could do one for LinkedIn if that was important to you. You could do it about your business. Do one just for solopreneurs. And as you start to host more, I think if you do one more party, then you'll be ready to do one that's sort of curated, but it's going to give you the confidence. Wait, I have another question. Did you use the party harmonica?
Okay. I've got a Tibetan bell.
Yes.
So I use that.
Good. Good. Nice. Nice. Yeah. How'd it go?
It was good, but it reminded me of work. I use it in my workshop. So I think I probably would have preferred the harmonica, to be honest. Oh, I should have got one. I know. Again, I'm making... I'm sorry, Nick.
That's all right. It's a silly thing, but facilitators might appreciate it. I really suggest people get a harmonica. You can blow a low note to kind of get the room's attention, or the high note, sort of like a whistle. And it's a little better in my mind than making a loud whistle or trying to yell on top of people, but it's what I do to get the group's attention. I'm going to ask you another thing. Did you do how we talked about giving the room a 5-minute warning before the icebreaker?
Yes. And for this, it was a little bit awkward. So the second one I did, rang the bell, was like, hey, everyone, 5 minutes, and gave them a heads up on the question. And then it was quiet. And I'm like, okay, you can go back to talking now. And then it picked up again. So, but I think it was
good because... that's normal. That is so normal. It happens at all my events. Just ride through it. Know that there's a power vacuum and the room will restart on its own. Just ride through it.
I think that's awesome because the quality of responses that we had in that second round, I think we needed the heads up. So I totally would do that again. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good.
It's good to know that's normal because I was like, all right, let's go.
No,
press
no,
play
it's
on the
fine.
Playlist.
Yeah. And then when did you do your group photo? Did you do it before the last icebreaker or when?
Before the second. Yeah. Before the last icebreaker, because I know that once we finish, it would have just gone back and
Yeah. Good. So, good job.
No, thank you. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And like I said, my friend Ron Zee is now running one in a couple of weeks. He's taking it to Sydney and Melbourne. I'll be running another one as well.
Oh my gosh. Is he going to use my book or my format?
Yes.
Oh my God. Please have him send me emails.
I think he's emailed you. Yeah.
Okay.
He's the guy he's had Zac Efron at his parties and he's hosted speakers retreats and everything. So
really cool.
Really cool. Yeah. Nick, I want to share a quote before we sort of end this conversation. You posted it on your Instagram. It really struck me. I think it's important to share this. True hospitality is when someone leaves your home feeling better about themselves, not you. What do you think about that?
I love hosting people. And I think that the more value you can give them, that's what my parties are about, right? It's about introducing them to new people. And that's why you're going to be known as a super connector, because you're giving. You're giving them new friends. Today, nobody teaches adults how to make new friends. And it's so rare to be in a structured environment. It's almost like speed dating for friends, right? As we think about, what is this 2-hour cocktail party? I think about going over to somebody's house and leaving so inspired to be a better person, to level up, to be like, oh, I feel so good. That was awesome. It's like going to a museum, right? When the museum makes you feel so excited about the future. And I try to think about that I'm not showing off my fancy paintings or my wine collection. I'm trying to get people hyped up to just have fun.
I love it. Nick, if our listeners want to host their own cocktail party and get in touch with you,
Yes.
Where can we send them?
All right. So I'm going to tell you the answer to that. But first, I want to ask you, you are an expert facilitator. You see what we're doing with these cocktail parties at a different level than I can. Is there anything interesting that would be helpful for you to explain to your listeners? Because you did the scarf method. You talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Or something that you want to experiment, for example, because now you've done mine, but I'm curious to know what new things are you going to add to it to mix up the formula, right? Because all I'm telling you is the easy stuff. Leanne, don't buy a snacking plate. Nobody's going to eat the snacking food, or I'm just going to tell you the silly little things, but you can see the more advanced social dynamic. So I'm just curious if you have any ideas that you want to try for future parties.
There are so many, but can I address one thing that I don't think that actually surprised me, to be honest, because I have facilitated so many events, like hundreds. I don't mind being in front of a group of people and running an event, but this is different. I actually felt you feel quite vulnerable. And I think the best thing about you, because you're actually picking these people, it's as opposed to a company filling seats. And the core group, like actually having the bravery to actually send those first few text messages out is actually, I think it's quite brave to do that. So I want listeners who are listening, who run workshops, like much like myself, just to recognize that I told people at my party, like I was a bit scared hosting this. I'm like, what, Leanne? No, never. I'm like, yeah, I was. And I'm so grateful that you're here. So I want to address that. I think what I was thinking in the back of my mind is, it's too fast. Nick, you are spot on. Nick, 2 hours is perfect. So don't be compelled to move to three. Again, another bit of advice. What would I do differently? Look, I think your structure is fantastic. Maybe even in terms of icebreakers, I might look, let me think about that and I'll get back to you in terms of if it's something that I might spin in. But I think if you're going to like, you can play around with the format much like what I did in terms of the different drinks and the different elements like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like you can put your own spin on it, but ultimately your framework is good.
So I'm going to propose something to you because I think you can think, and maybe some of your listeners will have ideas. I believe that the 2-hour cocktail party, the format and formula that I've written, is about an operating system for social gatherings that can help you to meet some new people. There's name tags, there are icebreakers, there's 3 reminder messages, there's guest bios, you collect RSVPs. That format and formula can be applied to a variety of social gatherings. For example, 2 that are on top of mind for me are book swaps. Have you ever hosted a book swap?
No, but I'm super keen. Yeah.
Okay. So don't do it yet. Do it for your third one. Okay. Because everybody loves the idea of a book swap and they want to jump right to it, but just get your bearings right now on this first. And the second one is a clothing swap. My ex-girlfriend has been hosting them, and women are just loving these clothing swaps. And you use the same format and formula. You use name tags. You use 1 or 2 icebreakers. Hey, show us the clothes you got. Show us what you're looking for. Little conversational prompts. Somebody that I was talking to said, hey, I've hosted 2 of your parties. I think I want to do one now because everybody asked me what they can bring. He said, I love cheese. I know a lot about cheese. I think I want to do a cheese tasting and I'm going to use your format and your formula and I'm going to do it as like a cheese tasting. And he's hosted some, so he knows the foundations of it. But I'm really curious for people like you, for your listeners, your friends, to evolve this format and formula, to try different modules, if you will, where book swap is a module that just goes on top of the rails of this structure. So I kind of want to play in that space with you sometime. If your listeners are interested, tell Leanne that you like this episode. Ask her to have me back in a couple months when she's been hosting more, and we can talk even more about parties and things like that.
Oh, we totally will. I mean, I'm hosting Leanne's Long Lunch in next month, and using the same framework, using Mixly.
What is everything. That?
I'm bringing over Alan Weiss. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's
$1 million
consultant. So he's coming to Brisbane to speak. So I'm running like a spin-off event the day before where I've got members of my community who are coming to his event and we're having a long lunch by the water. Uh-huh. And I'm using the same format that you prescribed there. So it's absolutely, you can take elements of this. And I'm going to say, Nick, it is the most joyful book to read. I love this book, the illustrations, the stories, the checklists. It's like, I wish I wrote this book. It's the best. I'm recommending it to everyone.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah, I love it.
Thanks for saying that. So is your lunch going to be outdoors? It'll be like, so like a picnic?
It's outdoors. It's at a place in Britain. It's actually at a venue, but it is over the water.
Nice. Yeah. Oh man, it's going to be beautiful. You're going to get some great photos. So if your listeners want to find out more about me, I post on social media. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Nick Gray News, N-E-W-S. I'm active on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm going to send some links to Leanne to put in the show notes. I've written some blog posts about how to plan a networking event, how to host a happy hour, how to host a clothing swap, a book swap. And all of these things you can do, but I suggest just read my book first or listen to it to understand the rails and the fundamentals of what Leanne did successfully. And that is invite people, give them at least 2.5 weeks notice, ideally host on what I call a non-red level day, use name tags, use 2 or 3 rounds of icebreakers. And the reason we do all this is that it's hard to make friends, and you can help add value, massive value, to your friends by introducing them to the different circles that you exist. And it's going to come back to you in so many ways. You'll get introduced to new people. They'll be like, Leanne, oh my gosh, you have to learn about her meetups, her hangouts. You got to get invited. She hosts these great little parties. So I'm excited to see what you do with it.
Me too. I'm so happy I found your book, and just delightful to talk to you today. Thanks so much, Nick, for the amazing work that you do.
Thanks, Leanne.
You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning in to Work and Live Large. I really appreciate you. If you know someone in your network and you think, oh my gosh, they've got so much potential, like I want them to live and work larger, send them this episode. I think they might appreciate it. I also appreciate hearing from you, your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, anything. You can shoot me an email, hello@leannehughes.com, or find me on LinkedIn, just search for Leanne Hughes. Stay up to date with all the episodes by heading on over to leannehughes.com/subscribe, and all the best with your week as you go around living it up.